Hey guys, this is David Chen, and I'm recording this special bonus episode because something monumental has happened today, Russ Fischer. Russ, how are you doing, by the way?
I'm doing well, thanks. How about yourself?
I'm fine. I'm actually pretty good because I got to witness a piece of film/internet history today. Because our good buddy over at the Totally Rad Show, Dan Trachtenberg, released his short film into the world. It's called Portal No Escape. It's a short film. It's about 5 minutes long, based in the Portal universe. And it has been tearing through the internet like wildfire. Like, it's on IGN. I mean, obviously, it started, as with most important internet trends, it started with /film.com. And it's now spread all over the place. IO9, IGN, Patton Oswalt is tweeting about it. Producer Frank Marshall is tweeting about it. Everyone's talking about this short film by director Dan Trachtenberg. And so I thought it might be useful to kind of try and speak of, like most of the talk about this short film is of the very, shall we say, abridged variety in terms of film criticism. It's very much like Twitter people being like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, and it's very much people writing up short blog posts saying this is what a good Portal film should look like, and so on and so forth. I thought it might be useful to take a closer examination at the film and kind of talk about perhaps reactions that aren't so positive. So Russ, I mean, let me just sort of start by saying that I'm a huge fan of this short film and I'm ready to defend it. That being All right. said, Russ, why don't you talk about your reaction, which is not quite as positive as many people on the rest of the internet?
Yeah, sure. Well, I don't know if it's not as positive. I guess first things, I've played both Portal games. I've played both of them quite a bit. I'm a gamer. I'm a fan of Portal in general. And I watched the film. Pete had told me about it at Comic-Con when Dan screened it there. And so I sort of knew what the basic idea was. And in a basic sense, it's really a nice piece of work. It's well put together. It looks good. It sounds good. It looks like Portal. It captures a number of the things that make Portal, visually at least, what it is. And the actress whose name I don't recall at the moment, sadly.
Danielle Rain. I think.
Okay, she has a lot of presence. You know, she's. I think it was obviously it's smart to do a Portal film, especially a short film, without any, you know, serious dialogue. And she gets across what she needs to get across. I just, for background of people who are listening, I instant messaged Dave earlier this evening because I read a piece that Devin Faraci did about the film at Badass Digest. And while I'm not as extreme in my response to it as he is, I think he does have a certain point, which is that I guess I share with him an outlook that looking at fan films is unusual to me because I don't quite understand why someone would spend of something that's not theirs and in which they don't really dig deeply into an idea. That having been said, obviously that's invalidated by the fact that you've got people like Frank Marshall looking at the film. And I think that this Portal film has probably done exactly what Dan wanted it to do, which was get some attention and demonstrate what he could do in a certain context. And hopefully he'll go on to do much broader and much more unique and self-generated things. Now, as a fan of Portal, my primary criticism of the short film would be that there's something that is left out, which is that if you lined up a family in front of Richard Dawson and had him go, okay, you know, give me, you know, words that describe the video game Portal. Funny would be the top one. Funny would be right up there. It'd be a big point earner on Family Feud. And this movie is not funny at all. It completely sidesteps all of the humor that is not just superficially grafted onto Portal, but that is a very deep part of the game's worldview. And I think that is, as a fan of the game who looks at the film, I think that's a very significant omission, and it's something that I don't really understand, other than it's probably easier to replicate the overall look and feel of the action of the game than it is to write a script that echoes that humor, because that humor is very specific and very, very idiosyncratic and characteristic of Valve and of Portal specifically. So that's my quick take on it.
All right. Well, allow me to retort, sir.
Sure.
So, I mean, let me offer some general reactions to the short film and then also kind of respond to some of the points that you've made. In terms of general reactions, I'd say I really like it a lot. I think that there's something magical and satisfying about seeing the Portal gun in action in a real life situation, right? Like I've always wondered what it would look like, and I don't, you know, obviously this is a short film that was made on a very limited budget. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that this is like that concept fully realized, but it's certainly something. And it certainly is an imagining that can be, that is pretty captivating in its own right. You know what I mean? Like when I saw it at first, I was like, wow, that's pretty well executed and it's pretty breathtaking. So like on a very basic fundamental level of an enjoyer of the game Portal, I'm like, wow, it's cool to just see it like a live action version of that. In terms of the humor element, I mean, yeah, I think you're right about that. I think it's just like you're dealing with limited resources, you're dealing with and I feel like anyone other than the people who created Portal trying to do Portal's humor, it would be even worse than leaving it out completely. Do you know what I mean? Like imitating it poorly would be much worse than much worse than giving it a what than leaving it out, you know what I mean? Than
right.
Just not even attempting it. And certainly one could I would say the entire enterprise that went into this filmmaking, that went into making this film. I'm sorry if I'm a little stumbling tonight over my words, but it's kind of late over here. The entire enterprise of making this short film was difficult, I'm sure. I'm guessing. Actually, I know, because I've been interacting with Dan since the beginning of this film. The entire thing is difficult to begin with, but then like adding in the humor level, I'm sure would have been even more difficult. Now, when it comes to the idea of fan films, I think that you want your fan film to illustrate something new and to kind of add to what it is you're paying homage to. And I think this actually does that. I mean, I think it certainly adds the whole idea of, oh, like, you don't know the boundaries of the test and so on and so forth. But also just the very fact that it exists and provides a real-life look at this video game is a contribution in and of itself. So that's kind of how I approach the fan film thing. Is like, some might look at this and say, well, what's the point of this? Like, why not just make your own movie with like an original concept? But at the same time, as yeah, you're right, that's true, one could do that. It's also like from a marketing perspective, it's pretty brilliant to associate yourself with such a property, because this crosses all boundaries in terms of its appeal, right? Film people, video game people, it's, well, and by all boundaries, I mean those two boundaries specifically. Film people, video game people, but also, I mean, people who aren't usually into that kind of stuff have expressed, like Patton Oswalt.
Well, come on, Patton Oswalt's a gigantic nerd. He's got a vested interest in all sorts of stuff along these lines. So he's certainly film people.
Definitely. Well, that was stupid. I meant to say that he's not a Portal fan. And he liked this short film. So that's kind of my take on it. Is like, I think it accomplishes a lot, and also that fan films in general are capable of justifying their existence, and that this one does that.
So. I think for me, the whole fan film thing is just that it's from an objective standpoint, I can see I just don't feel it. You know, I don't look at Portal and say, I want to see a live action of that. I look at Portal and I think it's a whole fully realized thing, and I want to play it again, and I maybe want to play the multiplayer in Portal 2 again with friends. But I don't look at Portal and say, I want to see a movie. I look at Portal and say, that's a thing. That's a whole, complete, finished, great thing. And I'm perfectly happy with that. And that's the case for me with a lot of stuff. You know, I just...
So the idea of the video game movie is completely foreign to you then?
It's not foreign to me, but it's not something that I... It's not something that I very often desire. I guess there have probably been a time or two when I've looked at a game and thought, wow, this... not directly translated could lead to a really good film narrative. I've looked at a lot of games that I didn't think were very good and thought, you know what, the people who made this game very obviously wanted to be making a movie, and this would probably work better as a movie than it does as a game. But I don't look at something, you know, I don't look at something like Portal. I don't look at something that's like a significant achievement in one medium and think, wow, I really want to translate that to another medium. I look at it and be happy that it exists as that singular achievement.
No, I think there's certainly something to be said about that viewpoint. But Russ, sadly, the entire internet does not share that viewpoint.
Saying that completely invalidates that viewpoint is like saying that
Transformers 2
is a good movie because it made $1 billion.
No. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that the demand exists for these types of cross platform properties and creations.
No question. It'd be foolish not to acknowledge that and not to understand how that works in the marketplace. And as I said earlier, I don't know Dan well. I don't know what his intentions were with this film beyond replicating parts of Portal. But I think that it's safe to assume that getting his name out there as a filmmaker was one of the key intentions. And I think that it's safe to say that he's done that. So, again, you know, mission accomplished from his perspective.
But also, if you look at this from the perspective of, like, we've seen numerous examples in the past few years of filmmakers just getting out there, creating, putting their neck on the line, creating something that they truly believed in, and then hoping that people would pick up on it and trust them with bigger budgets. I mean, the biggest success story that comes to mind, I think we all know, is Neil Blomkamp, who created a short film called Alive in Joburg. And then Peter Jackson took him under his wing, gave him $30 million, and he used that to make a film that grossed over $100 million. Mm-hmm. And if you look at Alive in Joburg and you look at this film, I mean, I think... I would argue that they evince a comparable level of proficiency. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I hadn't really looked at it in that light.
Should, Russ. That's
Portal,
what I'm trying to argue.
This Dan's Portal film is certainly, it's a well-produced piece of work. In that respect, I have nothing bad to say about it. I could see how someone... how a producer would look at that as a short film and as a vital piece of Dan's resume and say, okay, yeah, I would trust this guy with a project. I would trust this guy to deliver, a watchable film that audiences might well respond to. Beyond that, I don't know. Beyond that, I don't know what somebody would take out of it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one thing is that, like, there's also that other instance of that guy who created that short film with the robots, right?
Right. You're thinking Panic Attack?
I think. And it's the one that Sam Raimi like took under his wing? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to say, I guess, Rinch as well, right? Who was originally supposed to do the Alien prequel, right?
Oh, Tinch?
No, Carl Rinch, right?
Carl Eric Rinch, yeah.
Carl Rinch. These are all examples of like people that emerged from like nothing to take on films that were major properties at studios. And the thing is, like, when you look at something like Alive and Joburg, like, one thing that I would say if you want to make the comparison is that Alive and Joburg, like, that seems like completely Neil Blomkamp's original creation, whereas here Dan was obviously appropriating elements of an existing property for his own usage. But it is interesting to me how one can just do that. Like, there's not, you know, in like, if you're going from a strictly legal standpoint, the people at Valve may or may not be furious at this. More likely, they saw it and they're like, wow, this is way cool. Like, look, someone actually went out and did this.
Well, I mean, Valve is an unusual entity in that respect. Valve has a very good track record of responding well to people who do things with Valve properties. And I mean, just the development of Portal itself was kind of from a game development perspective as unusual, the way that it became a massive Valve thing when that wasn't really what it was pitched at initially. Right. So, you know, Valve versus like DC Comics responding to somebody making a Batman movie, that might be completely different things.
I think, but I just, you got to admire the kind of gusto, the kind of lack of fear that it takes to put oneself out there in this way. And I think for Dan, it really paid off.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I mean, it's, I guess what it comes down to for me is that if I was going to make a film and put myself out there, I would endeavor to make something more along the lines of Joburg than something that's based on an existing property. And that's just me. That's my, that's the way that I lean, and, you know, I don't necessarily expect other people to follow suit.
Well, it's like this. It's like I once taught in middle school, for a time in my life. And I remember, I went to art class at the middle school, and there was this kid in that class who was really good at drawing, right? And one of his projects that he did while I was there was he drew like a perfect Halo 2 logo. Like, he was able to completely replicate the Halo 2 logo, like, really, really well, like, very convincingly. Like, so you see it and you're like, instantly you know it's a Halo 2 logo. And I remember my supervisor looking at that and like just shaking his head and being like, you know, like, look at this. Like, of all the things this child could be creating, he's just trying to imitate what someone else has already created. He's trying to replicate the assets that have already been created for something else.
Right.
And my supervisor saw that as a tragedy, that all this creativity is going to waste. It could be creating something original, and instead it's creating something that we've already seen before and that's instantly recognizable. Mm-hmm. I might argue that, you know, we stand on the shoulder of giants, that Halo 2 stirred in this kid. Like, maybe the counterfactual is not, this kid is creating something awesome and original. The counterfactual is maybe he just doesn't do anything. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
But and the fact that he's trying to, so that he, that Halo 2 so inspires him that he's trying to draw art based on it, is something that is to be praised, just because it's stirring something in him, and maybe later on it will lead to something that's more original and more his voice. But for now, it's something that demonstrates his aptitude, and also gives us something to sink our teeth into. And actually, that's it applies to both situations, both the middle school kid and also Dan Trachtenberg's new Portal film. And I don't say that as an insult.
I see what you're saying there. I would counter that just a little bit by saying that I think that in early stages of a lot of creative endeavors, in many different ways, writing, drawing, you know, filmmaking, whatever, are imitation. You know, you can go back to you know, Steven Spielberg making Super 8 movies that were emulating the films that he liked. You know, it's like, that's what people do. It's unusual now because it's so easy for that stuff to be very public. And I mean, this particular, the Dan's film in question is obviously something he wanted to be public, but it's kind of like a greatly inflated version of that, where it's like, you know, it used to be that you'd do your small stuff and you'd do your little stuff at home, and you'd imitate your things and you'd riff on the stuff that you liked. And then hopefully that would be, you'd step up to another stage where you started creating your own things. And that's the stuff that you would start to show people. And it's just because it's cheaper and easier and faster now, and because the internet is the primary medium to disseminate any sort of creative piece of work, it just happens to be that those early stages are a lot more public than they ever were. And it's not bad. It's just a change in the process. And for some people, maybe it helps them.
Well, you describe it as a byproduct, and I would say that potentially, I'm not saying that Dan was necessarily extremely calculated in the way he did this, but I would say that that's not out of the realm of possibility. You know, you release something like this onto the internet, with Dan's connections and with like the sort of frenzy that it's tapping into, you know, the Valve fandom, he's positioning himself really well for the future.
Sure. Yeah.
Like to get this seen and to get his name out there, it's pretty much a stroke of genius. I mean, as a business / professional move, it's pretty well executed all around.
Absolutely. I can re-acknowledge that. I think it would be foolish if he hadn't been extremely calculated in the way that he approached this, because he obviously has resources, he obviously has connections, and to spend the time, you know, this isn't drawing a Halo 2 logo on a piece of graph paper. You know, it's like, this is a much more expensive endeavor and a much more time intensive one. And so to spend that time and money on something and not think, well, okay, I'm going to bring my various social resources to bear to get people to look at it would be, from my perspective, foolish or short-sighted at least. So he's done that and it's worked out well for him, and hooray, fantastic. You know, seriously, good for Dan.
You sound so genuine, Russ.
What's that?
I said, you sound so genuine.
No, I mean that genuinely. It's like, I, from an objective point of view, again, I have no problem with the short or his intentions or anything. It's fine. I hope it's a process that works out for him, and I hope that he's able to take that next step and to do something that is bigger, more ambitious, and that is maybe more unique.
Well, I think we can both agree with that. I certainly think this is, I think this contributes to the Portal mythos in a substantial way. That is what I would argue. I mean, that's kind of my conclusion. Really? Because you sound like you didn't agree with that when we started.
You know, it's like, it's a minor contribution. It's like, I can see the whole idea that it's like, oh, here's a side test subject. I think that most of what's in it was implied. From a narrative perspective, I think that most of what's in the short was implied by the game, and was implied by the game in a way that gave you everything you needed to know, which in part is why there's not more of it in the game. And it's, but if, you know, it's...
Yeah, no, I see your point.
Anything away from the game.
I see your point, you know, which is that you're wondering how much does this add to the game, and you argue that I think what you're saying is that the act of porting it itself is not in and of itself like a substantial contribution.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I can see that point of view. But I can also agree with people that do think it's a substantial contribution. So
sure.